There's an old hymn in the hymn book with the title, Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire. Now, that makes a bold claim for the title of a hymn. The point of the hymn, I think, and the title is, if you have a strong desire about God, you're going to end up praying. Okay? Prayer is the soul's sincere desire. And when you think about it, if you had a sincere desire about anything, work, family life, health, and the Lord Himself, you would end up praying. Okay, your soul ends up turning to God and saying, thank you for helping me with this, or I'm glad you're directing with this. I don't have to rely on myself, and all these people and this responsibility and so on is a gift from you. So prayer is the soul's sincere desire. Here's one of the verses. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Okay, we're getting that vital breath. You know, just like praying. We need prayer like we need to breathe. The Christian's daily air. His watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. And I think if we are alert when we're dying, we're going to be praying. We're going to be saying, oh Lord, you know, here I come, and I'm glad you're my Savior. Or some pray, I need a Savior. Would you be my Savior even at this hour? And of course, Jesus will. But whether we live or die, we pray. Okay, we pray because we love talking to our loved ones. You go to school, you know, I can't wait to sit with these guys. What do I tell them about? Or I got to tell this teacher about, I forgot to do my homework. I really need to talk with them. We pray because we really want to. We need to. We must. We have a desire to. And in today's gospel, Jesus goes to the mountainside. He's about to choose his 12 apostles, and he prays throughout the night. Now, Mark doesn't tell us about that. Luke tells us about him praying throughout the night. Mark tells us about just choosing the 12 apostles. And right before this, Jesus heals a man, pronouncing blessing on him on a day of prayer, which is the Sabbath. And interesting, don't miss that miracle. He does the healing and the miracle in the midst of antagonism and almost like people hoping, I hope God doesn't do that, you know. Wouldn't that be a strange thing if we all said, we definitely don't want God to do that. And we're going to be mad if he does that. In fact, we're going to reject him if he does that. And God goes ahead and does it. That's Jesus healing a man. So we see sometimes God does great things, heals people, even though nobody's actually asking for that. He's amazing. He takes that initiative with the healing. He takes that initiative in our prayer life. So we don't start our own prayer life. Unless we're a little pagan and you want a little totem pole you could talk with, then you could start that prayer life. But if you want to talk to the one true God, we have to admit, he invents prayer. He created communication. He loved us first. He teaches us how to speak. You know, when you have little ones, they don't come. After a couple of years, they just don't start rattling off the Gettysburg Address. You have to take them one sentence at a time, one word at a time. God helping us to talk with him. Okay, prayer. Prayer and action going together. Prayer and compassion. I wanted to let God ask for his help this morning for all of us to strengthen our prayer life. Just like he showed Jesus as an example of praying throughout the night. So if we can have the attitude about praying, Lord, teach us how to pray. That was the disciples' attitude. Lord, teach us how to pray. Prayer is a gift, a friendship, a relationship. Prayer is communication. How many are good at communicating with other people? All the time. I mean, it just comes naturally. You're like, oh, man, they're so clear and they understand everything that I try to tell them. Most of us would say, no, we're not really that good at communicating with one another. And so we're not going to be that good on our own communicating with God. Okay, we're going to be inattentive. We're going to not hear what he's telling us. We're going to talk to him about stuff that is not as important as what we really should be talking to him about. The whole nine yards, going to be tainted with sin, but he could restore it to himself. Okay, the gift of prayer. And the Apostle Paul prayed for people in Ephesians. He said, I keep asking that you know God better. Ephesians 1:17 is the first and last part of the verse. So God uses prayer to draw us close to himself. He starts us praying. If you can keep that thought, I think we'll be looking in the right direction. Remember, even prayer, which we think of, well, that's us doing all the talking, God invites it. He sparks it. He invents it. He draws us out. Jesus prays on our behalf all the time. Oh, the Master's praying. We should pray too. Holy Spirit prays for us all the time, especially when we don't know what to pray. Oh, I'm glad God talks to himself about us. So we pick up the conversation, as it were. Let's talk to God about what he's talking about. Hey, well, that would be a great thing. Pastor Timothy Keller talked about prayer in a book, wrote a 300-page book on prayer. He's a favorite author of mine. He said, he talks about his own struggles in prayer. I don't know if I mentioned it before. He and his wife were having troubles, you know, with husband and wife stuff, which everybody does. And she said, what if we had, you know, what if we had a terminal illness and we had to take medicine every day or we would die? You think we would take the medicine? He said, yeah. What's the point, dear? And she said, well, we need to pray like that. Okay, we'll almost die without praying in terms of our relationship with God. And she had to say, oh, by the way, dear, our relationship with each other that needs God's help. So God was faithful. And Timothy Keller quotes some good old-time prayer guys about prayer. John Owen said this. He said, who you are when you pray is who you are and nothing else. That's meant to comfort us. Because when you and I talk to God, we have to be who we really are. We can't fake God out. We can fake ourselves out. We can say, I'm really close to God. Here, I'm going to pray now. God's, you know, saying, well, let me, you know, I want your heart talking to who he is. We can't fake God out. That's good news. Because he's the one refuge of truth and strength in our life. Who else can you go to and be totally who you are and what you want to be? It has to be the Lord. Because he's right there knowing everything ahead of time and saying, tell me what I know and get it off your soul. And let me tell you about myself. Keller says, Lord, I don't know how to pray because I keep getting in the way. That's pretty accurate, I think. John Murray, another prayer guy, said prayer is a union with our ever-present Savior. So we have a conversation going with him. And it involves our heart, our mind, our will, our warmth. I like that. So when I'm talking to God, I have to be, you know, give him the attention and attentiveness he deserves. Heart, mind, will, emotions, or at least we come with our honest despair. We say, I need help 100%. And when we come to God, better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. And again, be merciful to yourself if you find yourself in that boat. Because sometimes we talk to one another just kind of rattling on. Sometimes we talk to the Lord like that. But he says, you know, ease up with the words and tell me about how you're doing and how you're doing with him. How you're doing with him. And as far as prayer life, I wanted to share this. As a young Christian, God helped me have a very consistent, almost never miss, what you call a quiet time or devotional closet. And if you know what that is, it's like when you take, this is a time during the day I look forward to read the Bible, talk to God about everything, thank Him. And I love doing that in the morning, love doing that in the evening. And throughout the day, maybe I would talk to Him, maybe not. But that was my pattern. Okay. But as I've gotten older, maybe because of inattentiveness of age, or just fullness of schedule, no excuse, my devotional time is shorter, and my talk to God throughout the daytime is longer. I mean, I'm always talking to God throughout the day. It gets on my family's nerves sometimes because I'm talking to Him about stuff that, all right, that's enough already. You know? But, so you might find yourself in the same boat. God wants us near to Him. Quiet time is good. Talking to Him throughout the daytime is good also. So please, ask Him for help with both. And in the midst of, I did want to say, I've observed, when you pray, you know, quietly in your soul or out loud, which is hopefully something God helps you to do with your family, style of prayer is not the key. God doesn't teach us a technique of prayer in the Bible, but He does teach us about the one we're talking to. Okay? So don't think that you got this formula thing going that's really good. This is not healthy. He tells us about who He is, about prayer time. Style and length of prayer, not the key. I've seen people who are brief in speech are brief in prayer. If you're a man of a few words, you'll be a man who prays with a few words. If you're a man who, you know, takes 8 minutes to tell a story of how you went to get gasoline in the car, you will pray and pray and pray. And God won't say, you know, that's enough already. But it doesn't make the long prayer person any more holy than the to the point prayer person. Okay, so be merciful with yourself and others about that. There. And an appropriate prayer also is Habakkuk 2:20. God is filling the temple. Let everybody be silent before Him. We could do that prayer. Right? Right. So, Psalms are a great example of people praying. People like you and I, King David, some music peoples, people who had trusted in the Lord. And so we could say, Lord, help me pray like this. The Psalms, 150 of them, are almost like an expansion of the Lord's Prayer. Different parts of approaching God. And I want to walk with you through these. And just take it as an invitation. Grow in your prayer life with God. Without condemnation, without judging yourself, without feeling guilty, what you don't want to take away from the passages. Oh, Jesus spent a whole night in prayer, and He was the Son of God. I better spend at least 30 days with no sleep in prayer, because that's how much I need. That would be very, shallow application. Okay. Seek God, will you? That's the point. Seek God. He's great. So here's some good prayers. God, You are great prayers. And these are prayers of adoration, praise. Just glad to be talking to God. I mean, it's one of the amazing things in my life and believers, you know, why wouldn't you talk to God when you had the opportunity? It's like the best gift in the whole world. Ah, you know, don't turn it into a religious thing. You'll quench the relationship. Simple prayer of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. We were singing about this in the choir. It's a very peppy, good anthem was about this. You know, God, His fingerprint is all over the place. We could say, God, you're really great. I can't believe it. I could see You working in this person's life, in this person. And you, look how wonderful You made that person. And you're working against evil, Lord. I could see it. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. And the Grand Canyon and the oceans and, you know, the paved road and all above. Way to praise God. He's great. I trust in Your unfailing love, Lord. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. Psalm 13. Thinking about God's love. You know, only He loves us all the time. So that's an anchor for our soul. And if we forget He loves us all the time, we'll be looking for love out of other things. Myself. My family better love me all the time, or I'm going to yell at them, you know. Friends. My friend didn't love me this week. Forget them, you know. Trust in God's unfailing love. Our heart rejoices in what He did. And then I like this one, Psalm 18. I tried to pick psalms that directly address the Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. An example of praying. Peter would put it this way, not seeing Him, you love Him. And we rejoice with words that can't be expressed. So, what a blessing. And I like this one here. This is a different kind of prayer, Psalm 30. Haven't prayed this one lately. I'm sure you have not. Lord, You turn my wailing into dancing. Okay? I like that one. That's a prayer. That's admitting a couple things. Lord, I'm crying all over the place. I'm crying to the point where I am wailing. But that was just a little while ago. But now, I'm dancing. I'm so thankful. I've seen some of you dance. You know, you get excited and make a little move. I did make a comment, and I say it mercifully because I'm a very reserved person. And when we're in our relationship with God and also in our worship, it's okay to be a little bit more energetic than, let's say, Snyder's Funeral Home. Okay? I say it with mercy, and I say it toward myself. Here's the funeral home, okay? And we could be up here, okay? I see the joy. I see the energy. I see the thankfulness. I see the anticipation. And we say, Lord, yes, we are glad. I got my 8 hours at home. I'm okay now, physically. So turn the wailing into dancing. And after that illustration, you're probably thinking, please turn the preacher's wailing into dancing. There. Okay, Lord, You forgave the guilt of my sin, and You are my hiding place. All the different aspects of who God is, we get to know when we say You're great. Hiding place, fortress, light, stronghold. Okay, back to the dancing one. Following the Lord is more like a celebration, less like the funeral home. Nothing like a funeral home, but most of us don't associate it with, that was the most enjoyable time of my year there. Jesus calls sinners, so we pray about our sin. This is a part two. We'll go through these a little more rapidly. But, Lord, for the sake of Your name, forgive my sin, because it is great. It acknowledges sin hurts God the most, and we hurt God. So we want to say, we don't want to grieve God by turning away from Him in any manner. How about that? My guilt has overwhelmed me. I confess my iniquity. I'm troubled by my sin. God doesn't leave us in our guilt, but He sure wants us to be under conviction. See, and if we don't feel real bad about going against God sometimes, we forget how much He loves us. Gives us an opportunity to repent. One good preacher said, repentance is not a experience I had last week, but it's a daily U-turn. A daily U-turn. I repent every day about something. God invites us to do that. Then here's a good prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. I've sinned against You. Most famous prayer of confession in the Psalms. Have mercy on me, O God. Cleanse me from my sin. Because only Christ can make us clean. And only He can bring the forgiveness. So we do turn to Him. And then sinning, as Adrian Rogers often said, sinning will keep us from praying. So we bring the sin to God and say, I change with Your help. But praying keeps us from sinning. Because to talk to God is to be safe. And then these are help prayers. Lord, help. This is probably our most proficient prayer here. Lord, do not rebuke me in Your anger. Discipline me in Your wrath. We're saying God does get angry. We know that. And He has every right to be angry with us. But we turn to Him for His mercy. God seems far away. Why do you hide yourself, stand far off? I don't think God leaves us, but if you know the Lord. But He certainly will say, look, I'm not going to let you feel close to me while you're ignoring me or acting sinful and rebellious. You're just not. So if you don't feel close to God, God says, hey, it's on us. It's on us. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? We feel forgotten. God says to us, however, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lead me in the straight path, Lord. And this one I've never prayed, but it's okay to pray. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Which shows us, you don't have to have the strongest prayer in the world to really tell, you know, have your heart turn to God. Don't trust so much in the strength of your faith. Trust in the strength of the one you're talking to. Okay, that's a mistake a large part of the body of Christ makes. If I'm just strong enough in my faith, then I will really have God start to work in my life. Maybe when you're weak and you say, I think he's sleeping, God will put that prayer in the Bible. Say, I'm going to help this one over here. You don't want God just to help the ones who are strong in their faith, do you? That would be a pagan God. Right? He helps the ones who just say, help. Desperate prayers are accepted by God. And then the last group of prayers, thank you for, you know, praying this way with me. Learn through the Psalms, through the prayers of the New Testament, great prayers. Lord, I trust you prayers. I've prayed this one many a time going to sleep. And many a time trying to get to sleep at 3 a.m., this one here. I sleep in peace for you alone. Lord, make me dwell in safety. How true. You are my Lord. We have no good apart from him. We can trust God to bring goodness. And here's one that Jesus prayed. Into your hands I commit my spirit. We could pray that our last hours before we go to heaven. We could pray that when you go to sleep at night. You're going for that job interview. Oh, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. You're talking to your family member and you've been at odds with them. Okay, here I go. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, you want God to work it out good for the other person, for your own soul. My times are in your hands. That's a beautiful prayer. Lord, show me my life. Send the number of my days. That keeps us sober. Yeah, the clock's ticking. We're going to reach the end of this line here. And we want every moment to be to honor God. We only have so many times to honor him on earth. In heaven forever, or the new earth, but right now, more is great. And then this one I like again. When I'm afraid, I trust in you. It tells us a couple things. Sometimes we'll just tell God, I'm afraid. I have butterflies on butterflies. And I feel like I'm going to, you know, lose it. I can't even stand up. My hands are shaking. And I am afraid, but I will trust you. That's a good prayer. Sometimes we'll pray, I'm not afraid, I'll trust you. Well, that's easy. Why would God even help you if you're not afraid? But if you're afraid, he'll trust you. And he motivates us to pray, seek him. You could do this in your own soul and with the help of your Christian brothers and sisters. We have the, you know, we do this together sometimes. That's good. The once a month concert of prayer, that's a very good time. Go to that and you'll say, most of the people who've gone to the concert of prayer, they come back. Because they say, this is good to be close to God like this. But in closing, I'll say this. Don't you have the experience sometimes when something great happens or bad happens in your life, you say, I can't wait to talk, I can't wait to tell my loved one. I can't wait to tell my family. I can't wait to tell my friends about this. I can't wait to tell my spouse. And then when we learn how to pray, we say, I can't wait to tell God. I can't wait to tell God about this. I can't wait to thank him. I can't wait to ask him for help because I'm getting killed over here. I can't wait to talk to my loved one. And God is glad he's there for us. He invites it. He fuels the prayer. Could you seek him at his invitation and say, well, Jesus, you know, Jesus was a praying man. Savior, Lord, we can follow that way with his inspiration. Let's close in prayer, please. Lord, bless us as your dear children. We do know, as hard as it is to talk to one another, sometimes it's hard to talk to you, sometimes harder, sometimes easier, because you're a lot more accessible. Your love is strong. We could just come, commune as friend to friend. Help us to seek you, Lord, like this old song said, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all my trials. I must tell Jesus of joys in my life. Because Jesus will help me, Jesus alone. And help everyone here today, Lord, the ones who would say, I must tell Jesus because I'm going to hell. We know there's people who would be in that boat, and we've been there. And Jesus would say, well, come to me, and you'll find salvation and rescue. And other believers sent on a mission. I must tell Jesus because I have to go serve him. I can only do it with him. Just comfort your children, Lord, as we sing and walk with you. In your name we pray. Amen.